Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, May 11th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini. As I told you yesterday, I went to see the wonderful national tour of Matilda at the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts here in Orlando last night. So, I am Jamesless again today, but I will have a complete rundown of my Matilda thoughts at the end of the episode, and James and I will be reunited and it will feel so good for tomorrow's episode. Okay, on to the news. Yesterday, in a flurry of television show pickups, renewals, and cancellations, the National Broadcasting Company announced that on Easter Sunday, 2018 AD, they would present a live performance of that most blasphemous of rock musicals, Jesus Christ Superstar. And apropos of nothing, Easter Sunday just so happens to fall on April Fool's Day next year. So, coincidence? I don't know. Divine intervention? Perhaps. In addition to NBC's normal pair of live musical producers, Neil Marin and Craig Zidane, they have enlisted the assistance of stage and screen mega producer Mark Platt and the show's authors, Sir Tim Rice and the Right Honorable the Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber, as producers. We don't have any more real info on the production at this point, but I would be surprised if this doesn't end up being the most star-studded of all of NBC's rock musicals. In addition to that beloved rock score, there just seems to be a little bit more cachet to something like Jesus Christ Superstar than, say, Bye Bye Birdie. No shade. I'm already on record via the Twitter machine that I want Adam Lambert to play Judas. I love me some Adam Lambert, and I think he would kill that role. And I've seen some really great suggestions on the Broadway World message boards and on Twitter for some of the other roles. However unlikely they might be, I've heard a lot of people batting around Justin Timberlake as Jesus, Jack Black as Herod, Josh Gad I think would be really good in that role too, maybe even Kelly Clarkson as Mary Magdalene, although rumors are that she will be a judge on ABC's reboot of American Idol at that point, so maybe Christina or Alicia Keys or one of the other voice coaches could play that role. Either way, I wouldn't bet any amount of money that mattered to me on any of those previously mentioned people being a part of the cast, but this definitely opens up the dream casting beyond what we normally get for these live musicals. Also of interest with the show, I do wonder if any of the country's more conservative Christian organizations will boycott this production in some way or make a stink about it, especially with it taking place on Easter. I suppose only time will tell it. We aren't that far removed from when Catholic churches sponsored Jesus Christ Superstar album burnings back in the 70s and 80s. Either way, I'm very much on board and excited about Jesus Christ Superstar Live next year. Yesterday, we finally got a conclusion to this sad, sordid chapter in the history of Rebecca the Musical, as Broadway press agent Mark Thibodeau was ruled not liable for punitive damages or for defamation, although he was found liable for breach of contract. Rebecca's former producers Ben Sprecher and Luis Florenza had been asking for up to $10 million in damages, but instead, Thibodeau will have to pay them $90,000, $5,000 for his breach of contract, and $85,000 for torturous interference for contacting the investor, who eventually pulled out. As James and I have discussed before, in this part of the Rebecca saga, there really are no winners, there are no bad guys, only people that have lost years of their lives, a ton of money, and a good chunk of their reputations trying to bring Daphne du Maurier's novel to the stage. As we've said, I think this thing is toxic at this point, and I can't imagine it coming to a Broadway stage anytime in the near future, if ever. I sincerely hope, though, that everyone involved can find a way to move forward with both their lives and their careers. A fairly slow news day yesterday, but before I get to my Matilda review, I've got a recommendation for you, and it's from the Chicago Tribune, not a publication we often talk about on this show. Anyway, as you probably know by now, Tony nominee Bryce Pinkham is currently playing Freddie Eynsford Hill in the Chicago Lyric Opera production of My Fair Lady, opposite one of his Gentleman's Guide love interests, Lisa O'Hare as Eliza Doolittle, and Richard E. Grant as Inry Iggins. Anyway, in this video, Pinkham sings Freddie's song On the Street Where You Live, and it is, simply put, glorious. But rather than listening to me describe it, how about you just listen to a little bit?
I have often walked down this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live. Are there lilac trees in the heart of town?
Bonkers good, right? and I didn't even play you the end where he options up. We'll have a link to the full video in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. If you are in or around the Chicagoland area, My Fair Lady runs through May 21st at the Lyric Opera. And if Lincoln Center is going to be doing a revival next spring, they could do a lot worse than Bricecapades for that role. Finally now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I was completely taken by the national tour of Matilda last night. I'm not sure that I've enjoyed the staging of a show as much as I did for this in a really, really long time. The frenetic and kinetic energy that the children had in this super staccato choreography by Peter Darling was infectious, and the performances were fantastic. I had the pleasure of seeing one Gabrielle Gutierrez in the title role, one of the girls rotating through Matilda, and she was equal parts awkward and commanding, and Dan Chamorroy was deliciously evil as Miss Trunchbull. Jennifer Bowles is charming as Miss Honey, and special shout out to Soren Miller, who absolutely stole the show as Bruce last night. I don't know what it is, but ever since this show debuted on Broadway, whether I saw this certain scene in B-roll or in a televised performance, When I Grow Up always makes me emotional for some reason, and if I'm being honest, I think it has more to do with Matthew Warchus's staging than anything else. The small and big kids going back and forth on those swings is somehow subliminally powerful for me, and I always tear up, so that was a special thing to see it live. As any Broadway insider knows from day one, much of the discussion about Matilda has been about Tim Minchin's dense and oddly metered lyrics, and while there were a few times when I admit that I did find them difficult, overall, the messages, emotions, and yes, even most of the words were more than perfectly clear. After Orlando, the show is heading to Providence, Rhode Island, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Lincoln, Nebraska this month before heading down to Texas and Oklahoma in June. That's all of the stops that they currently have listed on their website, so if you have been putting off seeing this show, I'm not sure how much longer you've got, so don't miss out. I highly, highly recommend it. All right, that's all I've got today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Have a great Thursday. And James and I will be back to talk to you tomorrow.